Hello, everybody. Marco Casanova here with Abby Ford.
Hello.
And we tag-teamed this week's blog, Courage of Our Convictions 2. So to start off, I'm going to quote this gay-identified gentleman named Art, who is the director of events and partnerships for Revoice. And the quote that I'm quoting is about his committed friendship with a straight man named Nick. And Art said this, "I will never move someplace without Nick, and Nick won't move anywhere without me. When Nick dates, he lets women know, hey, this guy's my best friend. He's my brother, but he's also going to be a part of my household. So I can't pursue a marriage that wouldn't make room for that." Okay. Gay Christian movements like Revoice are gaining momentum in the church, and both Catholic and evangelical pastors are going with the flow. It's appealing. It insists on a biblical ethic, no sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman, but it gives LGBTQ plus persons the freedom to be who they are on the rainbow spectrum. So no undue expectations, definitely no boast in the power of Jesus and his cross to transform lives, just love, love, love. In a way, it's a queering of Christianity.
We find this quite disturbing. This pastoral approach for LGBTQ plus individuals splits biblical ethics from personhood, a person in which each one is in their truth as a man or a woman created as gift for friendship and marital partnerships. These movements, represented by Revoice, Preston Sprinkle, and Eden Invitation, which is a Catholic parallel, believes that God blesses queer identity but not gay sex. So accept that God made you like this and that he loves you as you are. Accept your felt LGBTQ plus orientation as something God is probably not interested in delivering you from, and that celibacy is a hard but necessary concession. Acknowledge that gay is the best way of describing your persistent, unchangeable, God-blessed orientation.
Now, wait a second. Aren't LGBTQ plus inclinations disordered? Why would a pastor bless that inclination in someone's true self? We at Desert Stream Ministries pass no judgment on the depth and difficulty of sexual identity issues. Most of us come out of them. But we will not morally neutralize homosexuality or transgenderism. That sows deception and confusion in the lives of vulnerable, earnest Christians who are looking for integration and healing. We cannot separate personhood from moral actions. We can't. Us as body, soul, and spirit are also acting and thinking beings that make decisions, and we cannot separate the two. Yeah. I cannot be gay but not act gay. It just doesn't logically make sense, nor is it the gospel.
Yeah. If we don't remain oriented to God's vision, we get weird. We just do. We try to fit our emotional and our sexual longings into strange couplings and definitions. These gay Christians call these celibate partnerships or committed friendships. Well, the language sounds reasonable enough, right? Celibate, friendship. But how do rainbow Christians work this out? We draw from their words. Preston Sprinkle's Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender has a paper describing celibate partnership as being many things, including a lifelong non-sexual commitment between two same-sex friends who live in the same home and function as a single household. Some of these couplings avoid romance within their relationship, but others embrace a so-called non-sexual romance. Well, what is that? We didn't know, but it includes things like cuddling, kissing, or holding hands.
So lifelong commitment, non-sexual romance. So it's really confusing. And Preston Sprinkle's gaining a lot of traction. So this whole Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender is becoming like a bigger thing. Like big name pastors are kind of endorsing it and really jazzed about it. But this enmeshed, exclusive, emotionally dependent relationships, these relationships are just not chaste. Right. It's not chastity. And we are naive if we nudge two same-sex individuals to enjoy everything but sex and think this serves them well. Call it emotional foreplay. That's what it is. We see it as the good Catholics, the near occasion of sin, and we're troubled by the lack of vision. It gives vulnerable, struggling Christians. It doesn't do them a service when we leave them in these conflictual circumstances that aren't for their best.
And what are these ideas? What are their inevitable end? Well, Eve Tushnet, who is a Catholic Revoice speaker, began by proclaiming that I'm a Catholic celibate. But now she glowingly speaks of her lesbian partnership as an end in itself. She says, if you see us out and about, including at Mass, you'll likely guess that we are a lesbian couple. We are.
There's a similar confusion in a Catholic group called Eden Invitation. Now, despite professed fidelity to a Christian Catholic ethic, they, like the Revoice camp, don't cast the entire vision. They welcome this sort of LGBTQ plus identification and offer confusing messages about how to handle LGBTQ plus feelings and experiences. For example, in their resources for pastoral care, they say, and I quote, "We omit sources that focus heavily on change or healing of sexual orientation. Eden Invitation respects the church's teaching on the enduring reality of concupiscence, the tendency towards sin. We believe, along with the unchanging teachings of the Catholic Church, that the true hope of the believer is found in union with God in heaven, not in the pursuit of eradicating temptation in this life." It sounds like to me that this sort of LGBTQ plus reality in someone's life is a ticket out of integration. And now it's just me and Jesus. It's sort of a Gnostic claim to bypass the hard work of becoming what we are.
Some of the things that Eden Invitation says we agree with, in part. Like they say, life is about union with God and a daily choice to navigate temptation. Well, we do agree with that. But aren't we called and enabled by Jesus and his friends to become who we are here, now, his kingdom coming to earth today, not just when we reach him in heaven? Sadly, Revoice, Eden Invitation, and Sprinkle give LGBTQ plus identified men and women a pass from today's work of sexual integration, now in our bodies and our beings. What a low ceiling. We love our brothers and sisters, and we really do have great patience for all the fits and starts toward integration. We are all on that journey, struggling with any manner of unchastity. But we do find serious error in believing that God encourages anyone to peacefully embrace an LGBTQ self, whether they say I'm gay or lesbian or transgender or in a so-called mixed or queer orientation marriage. That makes no sense to us.
Now we're calling all pastors, this is really to you, the pastors, those who are in charge of a flock, yes, especially those struggling with identity issues. Please refuse, yes, the gay Christian movement that blesses rainbow selves while upholding no sex, please. Yeah. Just don't have sex, but you can be what you want. It's a flimsy orthodoxy at best, and this defies the gospel essence. Jesus' kingdom come, Jesus Christ and community unites broken lives into whole enough expressions of man and womanhood while enabling us to reserve physical intimacy for marriage. Give every person the dignity of a deeper, higher biblical vision. We can act in accord with who we are.